There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 77 of the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. If you have a mate who isn't into all this law of attraction stuff, you're probably watching horror as they do and say things that you know are sabotaging themselves. You want to stop them and say, hello. Don't you see what you're doing? You're resisting. You're screwing up your vibration. But you can't say that because all you're going to do is cause conflict. You have to let them be however they are being, and you're supposed to see them as perfect as they are. But if they're behaving in a way that's resisting what they want, won't it affect you? That's what Julie is wondering about, and we'll see what Joshua has to say about it. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hello.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hey.
Glad to have you guys with us. That was the funniest
episode. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
So I have two things. I have a wife who's into this stuff as much as I am and who listens to the show, so I can't really say anything.
We love you, Lily. We love Lily.
But we, I notice it in her and she notices it in me. And we try not to say anything, but we do say things, just to, more to, like, catch their attention to what they're doing. But it never works because we always, start bickering. She'll come home from work and she'll complain about something. I said, shouldn't you be saying that in a more empowering way? And then she'll say, shouldn't you be saying that in a more empowering way? So I can win. So I brought my own, dilemma home with me here.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how we say that, we just can't like let it go?
Right.
For instance, last night I was with my son and daughter-in-law and I noticed that going on between them and I was okay. I just like observe. Mm. But when it comes to my husband, he's like immediately, don't do that, or why, watch what you're saying, or it's just funny that your mate is such a mirror.
Yeah. Well, I think
Kelly,
go ahead.
I was gonna say one time Kelly and I, she was rushing to be somewhere or she was anxious, and I said, come on, Kelly, let's be in the moment. And she goes, no, I want to get to the next moment.
<That's good.
laughs> We just laugh at that all the time.
I always say, would you like me to be different than I am? And she'll say, yes, please.
At least she's nice about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's honest. She's being all her authentic self.
Yeah, well, I added the please. The please isn't usually there.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it is. But yeah, you think that, okay, so if I have these desires, and your spouse has, you think, the same desires, then if you're trying to maintain your vibration by focusing on what you want, not what you don't want, then if they, even if they know this stuff, and focus on something else that they don't want, and that sort of like brings you to focus on that too, and isn't that dragging you into it? Well,
yeah.
I think we know that. You create your own reality, so you can be influenced by them, but they can't create your reality. So you still have the responsibility to maintain your own focus, I guess.
Well, and yeah, I've been looking at it as it's for me. So if he's doing something that's not in my vibration, why is that in my reality? What's going on in my reality that I need to deal with? There's a fear. I mean, there's like little fears that they're so deep and little tiny things. And you just got to be really aware all the time.
Yeah.
You've been working on that, huh, Wendy?
I really have. It's been a really good week.
So that's the idea of mirroring. Allison has been doing the one-on-one, and she asked a question about mirroring, and it was a situation that she had with her stepsister, and how her stepsister was being with her, and what caused her to have this emotion was related to a certain resistance and a limiting belief that she has, and that in order to see that from a new perspective, she had to have the sister, stepsister, have this conflict. Mm. And it's like a manifestation event that allows her to see something in herself. But if you don't know this stuff, it can go right over your head. But that's true. Yeah. Your spouses are your biggest teachers, and they're mirroring exactly how you're feeling. You know?
That's right.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, it is weird. Go ahead, Colin.
Part of what I've been practicing, and like Joshua said, it's part of authenticity, is accepting everything and everyone as perfect, like including myself, you know? So that helps me. I mean, obviously I don't have a spouse, but I'm in situations sometimes where where I have to practice acceptance,
right,
you know, regardless of the conditions, regardless of the other people and their vibration. And I'm finding it easier and easier all the time to just stay solid in me and just be who I am and allow the other person their opinion and just, you know, allow me to have mine, but not have to force it or even share it if I'm not inspired to.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, there's
right.
nothing more yeah. annoying than someone who can maintain their vibration.
Yeah.
Do I really annoy you guys?
Yeah, is it annoying? A lot.
But it does, sorry. I can see it brings up some discomfort sometimes, just like in general.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay too.
Yep.
Because I still feel good.
Yeah, and if you can understand that even when you do want them to be different than they are, and then you realize what you're doing, you can still forgive yourself for going off the rails. But it must be hard for people that, you know, have spouses who aren't interested in this at all. And then, you know, I don't know, do you sneak it in or...
Well, doesn't Josh say that they'll... By you maintaining your high vibration, that they'll realize that, hey, that's a good way to be, and they'll aspire to be more like that.
A shining, like Abraham says, a shining example of alignment.
Yeah,
it's the best way to teach.
Thank you. That's what I am.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, as our vibrations rise, like some people do sort of come along, fall away. You know,
that's
and
true.
Either way is wrong. It's just. Mm.
If they're a match to you,
you're around what you're matched to. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're a match to you and you're a match to this, then at some level, they're a match to this too.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though they don't get all of it, they'll get the broader parts of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We lost
Just
Mark.
Like see the example that we,
Yeah. Did we lose Mark?
So,
okay. Well, let's keep talking, and I will try and reattach.
Well, and I think it's too. I mean, they're in the vibrational. Like for instance, with Tom, I feel like he's in the vibrational vicinity because he's friends with Steve and he's married to me.
Yeah.
So he's definitely in there. But I don't know if that desire is necessarily there. And without the desire, that next step isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you need to know the desire, or do you just need to feel good and allow things to unfold?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And it could be like where he's at for his path. Like, so your path of least resistance to receiving this information is Joshua, you know, and his path of least resistance to receiving this information is through you.
Exactly. So it's easier for them to get it from you than to get it from reading a perception of reality, for instance, you know.
And I got that with my answers from Joshua that like, it wasn't, you know, because I wanted to share share this stuff with people that weren't necessarily interested in it. Mm-hmm. And they said they don't connect with this, but, you know, they do connect with hearing the same stuff through you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I just think it was so a classic example of that was when Gary challenged us all to post the video on our personal Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
The only people that liked it or acknowledged it on my page were from friends of Joshua.
Yeah, me too. The only person...
Interesting.
Yeah.
The only other person was my brother, and it was his car. That's why he liked it.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. But nobody else said anything. And somehow I posted by accident that isn't it fun to be part of this loving group of people, talking about the Friends of Joshua Facebook page. And by the way, anyone who wants to be on that page, just send us an email or contact. Or if you want to be friends with me on Facebook, just send me a friend's request too, and I'll add you there, and then we can add you the other one. But anyway, so people were going like, which group?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Shoot, morning, right? I wish I would have saw that. I would have wrote our sex cult.
Oh, God. That would have been funny.
And then my unicorn party in a rainbow.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the quote of the week, because this has to do with what we're talking about here.
All right.
Mark, you want to read that?
Yeah. You create your own reality. Your life is your creation, and you are fully responsible for how your life unfolds. It is your control. You are not a victim to fate. You are the captain of your life.
And I was interviewed by Julie Ryan, which twice. So the first one is going to be today. I think it airs.
It's going to be on today?
Yeah. Ask Julie Ryan.
I listed on Thursday, and it didn't come on.
I thought you said the 7th was when it was going to be out.
I don't know. She said Saturday. Maybe it's tomorrow.
Oh.
Okay. It could be tomorrow. It might be tomorrow, actually. I think you're right, because I think the Law of Attraction Radio Network starts the new ones on Sunday. So if not today, tomorrow. But anyway, if you're listening to this, it's going to be 3 weeks behind anyway. So
that's right.
Anyway, we're talking to her, and we were talking, you know, her audience is a little different than ours, and so they may not be as versed in Law of Attraction, but it really comes down to the fact that you either create your own reality or you're a victim of fate. So if you got to pick one of those, and if you pick a victim of fate, then you have no control, but then you also have no responsibility. And if you pick, I'm a creator of my reality, then every single thing that happens is your creation. And so you have to take total responsibility for everything, including how you perceive other people to be or how you judge them to be right or wrong, even if you know certain things, right? Because what you believe is beneficial for you informs your perception of reality. And what other people believe is from their perception of reality. And so you have this contrast where from your perspective, it's fact and it's a beneficial belief, but from their perspective, it doesn't meet up with them at all. And so they can see it as, some people can see this as complete nonsense, you know. And some people could see parts of it as being okay, but it's just depends on that individual. And then we all have this desire to try and drag them with us into our perspective or our belief system because we know that's going to be so much better for them. But we don't really know because everyone's on their own unique path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, you know, if you see people struggling and being upset all the time, you want to just say something to them. I sent a friend of mine, unrelated to any of this, they have no idea that this is even going on. I sent them that book, Love What Is, by the very famous author, Katie...
Byron, or whatever, Byron Katie.
Yeah, so I just went on Amazon, they were having difficulties in their relationship, and I sent it to them, just had this inspiration to it, but and a note saying it's from me and all that stuff, and they never, ever responded to it. About that. Yeah, so that was interesting.
Interesting.
So it's like, you know, here I am trying to make, inspired to make them feel good, but maybe it helped somehow, but they didn't acknowledge it anyway. It's interesting. Yeah. So you have to, I guess, let people be where they are. But Joshua has, this was a great question. There were so many questions that were so great this week. I think I probably did 50 questions this week. Which
Oh my gosh.
And not just from one-on-one people, but from the public as well.
Oh, really? Are you like expanding faster now that you're doing so many questions in a day?
Yes.
You know, because you're taking in that knowledge too. Are you just like...
Oh, am I personally expanding faster? Totally. Yeah. I feel like I'm just... I totally feel like things are shifting big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really get... They come in so quickly. I don't know how much of it is stored or received. I'm sure it is at a subconscious level. Yeah. A conscious level, I only get bits and pieces. It's like, you know, flying through something and you just get it and then it's gone again. I don't know. If you were to read it, because I read them back, because I have to do that spell check and stuff. But I don't know. I think it's going in. But after the cruise, I went into this double ability. Also, I'm way more interested in doing this than I am playing poker now, too. So I'm only playing poker 2 days a week, where I was doing like 5, 6, 7 days a week. So poker is falling away, except for today I have a big tournament. But I might not play
that's
poker next week. Yeah.
That's very
interesting. In fact, I go there and I'm like, geez, I'd rather be doing questions right now.
I was wondering about that. So tell us about the joy of doing the questions.
So it is so fun. Yeah. So I'll get a question in. There's a special email. It's called joshuateachings@gmail.com, and all the one-on-one people have that email. And so, and if you hear this, you can feel free to send one in. I might not get to it. I might. But other people send it into the website. But anyway, so I'll have my list of so many questions to do, and I try to, you know, get the first ones done first. And what happens is I'll read the question, and I'll say, geez, I don't even know this answer at all. This is like a hard one. Like, Isabel asked this question that she got from someone else. I think it's Kimberly Maxfield or something. The law of three and the law of seven, right? I had no idea, never heard that before in my history of my life. Have you guys ever heard this? Law of three and law of seven? Okay. It's super interesting. So anyway, I don't know anything about it. And I just started typing. And this comes out. And so what Joshua says is the law of three is like yourself, your physical self, your inner self, and all that is. So that each part of it can't be it without one of those parts. It's like Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost, right?
And the Holy
Ghost. Which I always thought was weird, you know? What's this Holy Ghost? Well, Jesus is the physical self, God is the is the inner self, and the Holy Ghost is the system or all that is, you know? And there's a whole bunch, like, okay, father, mother, child. You can't be a mother without a father or a child. You can't be a child without a father and a mother, right? They go together. And what it's saying is, the most important part of this, is that all three are equal. And so they put it on a triangle, an equilateral triangle. And so each point on that is equal, right? And then they went on to talk about law of seven. And so they said, okay, imagine three lines that are crossing in the middle, okay? So one is vertical, and the other two are at, I don't know, 90-degree angles in a cross, right? So the top three is authentic self, the middle one is inner self, and the end one is love. And the bottom is persona and ego and fear. And the middle is vibration. So your vibration is created by this, where you are on that axis. If you're above that middle line, you know, above you're more into the love and
above
more into authenticity and more into being guided by your inner self. And if you're and more into love, and if you're below that line, you're more attached to your persona, which is guided by your ego, which is directed by fear, right? Than, so you're moving, you're creating your life based in, you know, avoiding fear or what you find fearful and protecting this persona because of the fear. And that sort of thing. And if you're above that line, you're moving from fear to love, you're more authentic, you're more guided by your inner self, you have a better connection to inner self, and you are creating your life based in love rather than fear. So it's pretty cool. So your vibration is dependent on where you are in that scale at any moment, and that's how it unfolds. Also, they were saying that you could put that on that same triangle. And so the points would be authentic self, inner self, love, and the lines would be persona, ego, and fear. And the center would be vibration of the triangle. So is it interesting how the triangle is three points or three sides, but really has seven parts to it? Three lines, 3 points, and a center.
Don't think about that.
So that's pretty interesting. So anyway, I get questions like this, and I even drew a graph, so I'll send everyone a graph of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was just thinking that would be fun to, like, design something and make a logo or whatever.
Yeah. So I'll send that to you, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, that's what's fun about it is you have no idea what the answers are going to be, and then you get these answers, and you're like, oh, wow, that is amazing. You know, and so I wonder how Joshua's description of the law of three and the law of seven meets up with traditional descriptions of it, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It's got to be such a rush for you, though, because I know, like, when Astrid and I are chatting and all of a sudden I'll feel like whoosh and this stuff will just come out and it'd be like, wow, it's so cool. And you're doing that, like, for hours. It's just like, that's got to be such a rush.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm focused on what feels good for so much of the day. And then when we do the Joshua Live, well, that's just like this feeling of rush and goosebumps the whole time. You know, and then and when they leave, then it's like this real rush. And when they come to, you know, it's interesting. Yeah.
Now, when you're doing the questions, so do they leave in between questions, or are they pretty much with you that whole time period?
Okay, so that's interesting because I used to meditate in the morning and wouldn't do a question before I meditate. And then wanted to do them all in a row so I wouldn't break up the concentration, close my door, not listen to music, you know, and now, or not into the phone or anything. So now the doors are open, music is blaring, Lily's coming in and out all the time, phones ring, I can stop in the middle, talk to someone on the phone, go right back wherever I left off. It doesn't matter. So it's always with me all the time. Don't have to meditate ahead of time. I was playing poker late last night, got home really late, woke up super early with this in my head. Right, this law of three, law of seven, was groggy and a little bit hungover, and so that question took a full hour to go through from six to seven.
Oh my god!
And usually, I have been keeping notes here that takes like a half hour. So I was it was a more detailed But I couldn't even
hit the keys. That's a very interesting concept. So it's almost like, you know, in religious terms, your body is your temple kind of thing. It's almost like if you keep your body well-tuned and physically fit, for lack of a better word.
All right.
It would be easier to receive versus if you're tired or sick or whatever. And that makes so much sense, because when I was sick, I could not grab these feelings to save my life.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And
You're denser.
Yeah.
You're denser.
Totally. So part of feeling good is So I'm, you know, been doing the Joshua diet and been focusing on the playbook where you do it every day. So you list all of the things you're grateful for, what your intentions are, and how you feel now, how you felt yesterday, how you intend to feel tomorrow, that sort of thing. It just really keeps you focused. Yeah. And so it led me to this way of living now, which is, it's called intermittent fasting. So I completely eliminated sugar. Eliminated any diet sodas. I don't eat except for between noon and 8. So 8 hours a day out of the 24-hour day. You know, so there's no desserts or anything.
You don't eat.
Don't eat except for between noon and 8. So for noon, morning, I'll have black coffee. So I have this cold brewed coffee. And this just works for me. It's not for everyone. But this is what I was led to. So I sip on this all morning. And then a lot of times I don't eat at all until dinner. So I'll just completely bypass it. But if I do eat, it's just a shake. And no snacks in between. And then dinner. And what this has done for me is I used to be starving all the time because I would eat breakfast. And then I would have which would just be a shake. Then I'd have a protein bar because I'm starving. And then I have it right at noon. I had to eat. I mean, if we're going to lunch, I had to be there at noon because I was so hungry. And then I'll have a snack at, I used to munch on whatever's in the house. So I didn't even bring anything in the house anymore. But I used to snack on something and then have a normal dinner and then have dessert. Well, now it's this works for me great because I don't crave sugar at all. Once I went without sugar for a few days, the sugar craving left. Before, it was like drugs. It was literally like smoking cigarettes. It was such, the urge was so strong. Wow. And so that is gone. And so anyway, I've been doing really well. And then I have this really great desire to walk and to do this exercise thing that I do on my walk. And I have this urge to go do that. Like, that's like an urge, you know, instead of like, oh, do I really have to get up and go do that? It's like, I want to go do it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat.
That's an inspiration, Joshua.
Unfolding. Yeah. So I hope to be like really fit by the Joshua Land Cruise. I think I'll be in really good shape. Yeah. All my clothes are sagging and falling off me now. You can't see, but the pants I'm wearing now
were like
tight. And I've been a 36 waist for eons. And right before the cruise, I got 34 size pants that fit perfectly. Yeah, so it was cool.
Right on.
Anyway, so should we jump into this question?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Dear Joshua, I rarely stress about money. Seriously, my whole life, I never worry about having or not having money. I have always known things will work out. My husband, however, worries about it all the time. He brings up the topic of money in one way or another, usually worry, on a daily basis. Now, I am not putting him down. I am extremely appreciative of him working so hard for his family and that he cares enough to want to provide for his family. He is an amazing person and works more so that I can raise the children and have the jobs I have, which are my passion. I truly am appreciative of him. He is our breadwinner. I only work part-time, and even though my jobs are my passion, they don't pay enough to provide as a second income. After learning from Joshua, I tried to tell him that worrying is only attracting what he does not want. Then after I got further into Joshua, I realized I should not be telling him what to do or not, since it's his journey to go through. However, his stress and sometimes negativity starts to wear on me. And because of the constant talk of it, I am slowly starting to think about it more often, especially before I buy anything. I used to never think too hard about it, but now when I want to purchase something, I pause and think, is this a good idea or not, based off of what my husband was complaining about earlier today, etc., etc. Since he is the breadwinner and I am only part-time, it's hard for me to justify large purchases or even frivolous ones. My question is, since I create my reality and I created him in my reality, does his stress affect my monetary abundance? In other words, sometimes when I'm in a low vibrational state and he is complaining, I tell him to stop because his negativity and talk of lack is going to affect me and I don't want him taking me down with him. LOL. But really, since I am not the one working as much and he is pulling in the money, doesn't that affect my reality? I wonder if that constant attention to lack will affect our family, since I believe in law of attraction, you know? I feel like my positive outlook on it gets canceled out by his negativity on it. How can I manifest more money than what he is pulling in when I am not the one physically working as much? And what do I say when he does start complaining or stressing? Nothing? Ignore it? Not sure what to say. I don't want to ruin his journey or mine by intervening and telling him what to think. With love, Julie. Well, I'm smiling while reading this because I'm...
Well, I think we all, so many people have the money issue is a big one. And, but isn't she, this is only her second question. So isn't she smart that she's like really understands how this all works, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many people would just be like, stop doing that.
Right.
Trying to make the other person different. You know? Yeah. All right. Let's see what Joshua has to say.
All right. Dear Julie, your husband is not preventing you from attracting the abundance you desire. He is causing you to receive it.
Okay, so that's an interesting question right there.
Yeah.
He's not preventing you. He's causing you.
Right.
That's interesting, isn't it? I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah.
He and his fears around lack are what allows you to create the abundance you have and to create even more abundance in the future. Everything he is saying and doing is perfectly right. Once you get this piece, you'll have a better understanding of how the law of attraction brings you everything you want and how your approach currently does not match what you want. We will attempt to explain this in a way that makes sense to you.
Please do.
First of all, you, he, and everyone you know is really a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. You have placed limitations on yourself and on all others due to fear. When you remove your fear, you remove all limitations, whether they are self-imposed or perceived from the point of view of another person, such as your husband. As you know, your husband cannot create in your reality. However, you believe that he has some influence over you. This is simply a false perception based in fear. This is why you would like him to be different than he is. You fear his influence will cause you to resist the abundance you want.
So the fact that you see him resisting and thinking that's wrong is resistance itself.
Exactly. Right. It's happening for you. Yes.
God. All right.
Yeah. You are a being of love, so you can only attract love.
All right. Let me stop you there. That's a really interesting thing that's come up lately.
Yeah.
Right?
So doesn't that make sense? If you're a being of love, if that's who you are, you can only attract love, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking at love differently. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. You attracted your husband, and he is a match to you because you are both beings of love. But even more than that, his worry about lack is also a match to you. It's one of the reasons you attracted him. His ability to perceive the world from a perspective of lack, struggle, hard work, etc., is exactly what you need so you can develop a greater sense of what abundance truly is. Abundance is the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. From that perspective, your life is now and has always been perfectly abundant. You live an abundant life even though your husband appears to be focused on lack. Do you see that? You have everything you need when you need it.
Wow. You know, that it took me forever to understand you receive what you need when you need it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said, what about what I want when I want it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It took me forever to let that resonate.
Right. So, okay. So let's say that you want $1 million in the bank. So why do you want $1 million in the bank? Well, primarily because you want to feel secure.
Right.
Yet, feeling secure has nothing to do with money in the bank. It's just your excuse to feel secure, right? Where you could feel secure now, and then the money would show up as a reflection of that security. You know, it's just like going in the opposite direction.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, totally counterintuitive. Exactly. Right.
But that's what Joshua said to me one time. He was talking about you want a stockpile it. So that's the idea of the $1 million in the bank is stockpiling it so you can feel secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't create the conditions first. You got to create the feeling first, then the conditions go around that. Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You also have the complete and absolute ability to manifest anything you desire. The reason something you want does not currently exist in your life right now is simply because you are not a vibrational match to it yet. But you are becoming a match as long as you allow it. Your husband is an important part of the process to become a match to what you want. Without him and his ability to ring out fear, you could not become a match. When you feel negative emotion about what he is saying, it allows you to notice that fear is present. Now, what is the fear? It's the fear that he can create in your reality. Since you know that this is not true, you can also know that the fear is irrational and false. Not only will he not have a negative effect on your ability to live an abundant life, he will cause you to become a match to the abundance you desire.
Right. Mm. So that, and it will cause, well, I don't want to go ahead here, but I think it will cause you to create a desire for abundance, you know, and to see how hard work isn't really the way to do it. And I'm leaping ahead here. So let's go on to the next one.
Imagine that you have a lamp with a genie, and anytime you want anything, you simply rub on the lamp and the genie appears to grant your wish. You have always had this lamp and genie, and you're used to rubbing it and getting what you want. You don't think too much about it. Then you meet your husband and show him the lamp. He doesn't believe you, and so you summon the genie, and the genie grants him a wish. He doesn't believe the genie. He thinks it was himself who was responsible for the manifestation of the desire. He calls it hard work and effort. You are amazed by this. What do you mean you created it? The genie gave it to you. Now you begin to doubt the genie and you wonder if maybe your husband is right. But you have experience with the genie, and instead of telling your husband, you just keep the genie to yourself. Why let him worry about it? Let him think he's the creator of everything that comes to him. Let him feel appreciated for all the effort and hard work and sacrifice. The truth is, he likes working hard and being the breadwinner and making sure you all know how hard he's working for the family.
Yeah. Right? So he's not struggling. He likes that part of it. You know, he enjoys it. He likes to talk about the lack so he can feel appreciation for what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to talk about the hard work so that he can feel appreciated. That's what he's doing it for. Right?
Absolutely.
If it was nothing.
I don't know that.
Go ahead, Mark.
That one. That one's hard. I mean, I wouldn't say he likes it. He's just, I would say he's doing it from a feeling of lack. So how can you like that experience of hard work?
Because it gives him the excuse. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, in the same way that like, I quote unquote liked my kids waking up in the middle of the night, because then it gave me an excuse to not have to do anything or to like not live up to my full potential because I could say, oh, I'm so tired. Like I didn't consciously.
Oh, you're saying on some level.
Right. Subconscious. Right. Yeah. Like he doesn't realize
it. Right. No, he doesn't realize it.
Consciously, like getting that. But the gentleman friend is the same way. We had a conversation. He just walked out the door so I can talk about him freely. But no, like in terms of working hard, you know, and really valuing that. And when I talk about being easy and just like letting things happen for me, he's like, well, the only reason that works for you is because there's people like me that like to work hard. And I'm like, well, hey, I mean, if you like it.
So Joshua's talked about this as far as that no pain, no gain. And Joshua says that don't believe in that. Believe that pain doesn't equal gain. Believe that the people who believe that like the pain, right?
Yeah.
They enjoy the pain. They enjoy working out. They enjoy that. That's the what they get out of it. And then they can see the results of the pain. But there is no need for the pain. The pain's... Like I'm in the middle of sculpting a lean and phenomenally beautiful body easily by doing things I want to do. Right. There's no pain involved at all. It's all fun. But so those people who say they need hard work believe that hard work leads to something, and that's fine for them, you know.
And it could be that they're validating themselves.
Yeah.
And totally. Joshua's been talking a lot about the idea of exploring one thing through another. So they could be exploring the idea of ease through working hard, you know, and maybe that's part of their progression on their path is like getting to a point, or maybe it's not. Like, so it's perfect that they're exploring things in that way.
Yeah.
And it's perfect that we're exploring things in our way.
Mm.
But if we look back at our past life, I mean, and we're learning this, the law of attraction and this Joshua stuff, Abraham stuff. If we look back, weren't we more, you know, moving from no pain, no gain to effortless and ease. I mean, if I look back at myself, we used to just think we would effort our way to get what we want.
Sure. Yeah,
there's a progression. So how come he can't be like that too? Like when we were doing it, like when I think about myself back in the day, I just did that because I thought that's what you do. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily enjoying the pain of it. I just thought that's what you do to get what you want.
So, and I think it's a subconscious level, like in a subconscious, like maybe enjoying conveys the wrong sense, but like that you're getting something out of it. Like anything that you're doing, I think you're getting something out of it. Maybe not always consciously, but there's some reason that you keep doing it. There's something in it that you think is serving you.
But it sounds like Joshua's not saying that it's subconscious. It sounds like he's saying that he really enjoys the hard work, and which he may.
Yeah, and he may call it hard work, and it's not like even when I was running companies and everything and working a lot of hours, it was never hard. It was always fun and easy. We were always having a good time. The only hard work I ever really did was when I was 16, I worked at a grocery store stocking shelves, and that and part of it was fine. The only part I didn't like was unloading the truck because the stuff was heavy, and even that wasn't terrible because you could see the thing, but that created this desire never to work for anyone again. And then as I was doing it, I definitely thought I was working really hard. I was working a lot of hours and making a lot of money, but I totally saw myself as creating all the abundance that I had and not realizing that I was just in the flow of what I was doing and I was allowing as much. And the more I allowed, which really for me, came true when I had my appraisal company, and at the beginning I was really a perfectionist and really micromanaging everybody. And when I started allowing them and delegating, that's when everything took off. So the less I did, the more money I made, by far. But anyway, I think that in this case, go ahead.
Well, don't you think too that society approves of complaining?
Complains of complaining and working hard and does not look fondly on people who do not work hard.
Yeah. Especially like you said, Gary, the only hard work is putting a roof on in Florida. I mean, or any physical manual labor, I guess, would be hard.
Yeah. And those guys who were doing it were in a rhythm and in a role, and they were all super appreciative that they had jobs and that they lived in America, because not one of them was from America. Foreman, not anybody.
So last night I was with some friends, and then someone asked me, what's going on? How you doing, Mark? What you been up to? And they're not into the Joshua stuff at all. I was like, I hesitated at first, and then I thought, okay, so I kind of explained what I'm doing. I told her about Joshua, and I said, so at this point right now, I wanted to work on Facebook ads for my marketing, and pretty much Joshua said, well, don't do anything until you're inspired to do. And I was telling her, well, that was a challenge. So, last few days, you feel like you want to work on your marketing, but then you're like, okay, I'm not inspired to do, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find other things to do.
Yeah.
And so I told her how I'm trying to get used to this, not to do things until I'm inspired. And then I realize her perspective, she comes from a hardworking family. And so I'm thinking what I'm saying might sound just like bullshit or lazy or like, what are you going to not work until, you work hard for your family. So it's just interesting how people might, it doesn't matter how she takes it, but it's just interesting the perspective. Like ridiculousness. And then we change the subject.
Well, yeah, that's cool. That's a sign of your vibration. If everybody's mirroring, that she just she didn't say those things that you just said, even if she maybe was thinking them, you don't know. But she was like, that's a sign that you're like feeling more and more comfortable with it. That's cool.
Yeah. And it is true, the difference between motivation and inspiration. Motivation is you get yourself to do stuff you don't want to do. And and from that perspective, if you're doing something like the one thing that I could never do is walk into a mortgage company and try and sell my appraisal services, right? I hated doing it, and so I just never did it. And it didn't matter because it just spread by word of mouth anyway, right? I just became friends of people, and they introduced me to their friends, and their friends were in mortgage company, and then I just became friends with them. But I never walked in cold anywhere because I hated that part of it. And if the occasions that I did do it, it was completely miserable and never worked. Ever. I just got shot down, So then I was inspired with this idea that what I would do is send a helium balloon that says congratulations. And the balloon is tied to a bunch of the mortgage broker's business cards. And as soon as we got an order, we had this balloon couriered, because in our area at that time, you could courier anything for $4 anywhere in Palm Beach County. So we would courier this, and so to the person's office. So the borrower would get a box from, it looked like it was from the mortgage company, and they would open it, and a balloon would shoot out saying, congratulations, tied to a bunch of the mortgage broker's business cards. And so people were like, what are you doing? Well, I'm refinancing my house or buying a house or whatever. And so they'd have all these cards and they pass out the cards, right? So the mortgage brokers thought this was the greatest thing in the world. We had a helium tank. We had an employee who just did that. We were sending out, 100 of these a week.
I want to be that guy.
Yeah. So, that was just an inspired idea that came from waiting for inspiration.
Yeah.
And nobody had ever done that before. That was seemed like a pretty original idea. I don't know where it came from. All right, let's get back to this little question here.
All right. Show him loads of appreciation. And when he talks about lack of money, just know that all he's doing is asking for appreciation for what he is doing for the family.
Yes.
Let him have his illusion and you can maintain your secret of the genie and the lamp. Know that you are taken care of and that your husband's statements have nothing to do with abundance. They have to do with appreciation. Don't make him wrong. Instead, notice the benefit he is offering you. His attitude isn't to control your spending. It's to control the feedback he wants from you. Give him what he wants and then follow your passions. Appreciate him because his efforts and approach to life allows you the ability to spend time with children and to do the things you're interested in doing. That's what we would call abundance. Mm. With our love, we are Joshua.
So just look at what her is, She has the abundance. She doesn't have to work. She gets work on her passions and be home with the children. And that's what she wants, right? So she gets to do everything she wants. So she is abundant, and he has no effect on the abundance part. All he's asking for is appreciation. And that it's funny that she has her genie. I love that analogy.
Yeah,
and
I wanted
it's like,
to have that.
Here's the genie. Can't you see the genie? Yeah. It's like, that genie didn't give me that. I got that on my own.
Right.
Exactly.
I like that idea that they brought up about how, on the surface, it looks like he's talking about money, but the real issue is appreciation. Because I've seen that, since the gentleman friend and I have been interacting a little bit more, I see that where, he'll get fixated on one issue. And so it seems like that's what his problem is. But what his problem is his feelings of, or fear of loss of love, or, just this deeper thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when I can just see through the surface level conversation underneath to the root issue, then it's easier for me to stay solid in my place and to see it as fear, just be observant
and not sucked into it.
Yeah.
Let my persona take over and feel the need to defend myself and explain myself.
Right.
And react.
Yeah. And see things the way that I do. Then I can just let him have it, let him spin his wheels, and then ask for a blanket, and then it's over.
I think that the key is realizing that there's no possible way to defend yourself or your position or to ask someone to be different than they are. It is completely useless to want to change somebody.
Yeah. For me, it's come as a result of practicing being unapologetically me. So I've stopped saying I'm sorry. I mean, I say it sometimes when I mean it, but apologizing for being who I am. And so I notice now, when I'm feeling good more of the time, that even when I start, last night in a conversation, I started to defend myself. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this shift, in my chest area that I couldn't, I just didn't even want to say those words. I noticed the physical change in my body of how I went, my overall state went from feeling good to feeling bad. And so I just stopped.
Oh, wow.
I've been really catching myself doing that a lot too. Yeah. And that meditation, I keep going back to the relationship meditation. I do not have to defend my position. I cannot be taken advantage of.
Right.
And that made, to me, that's just a lot easier to allow these things to happen.
Well, if you want to be perceived as good, because we were trained to be perceived as good, that was important, because we would get love if we were good and not get love if we were bad, then you want to make the other person wrong. Because if they see you as bad, you can't be bad. You've got to be good. Right. And so you got to defend yourself. That's the hardest thing.
You know, what's so funny is one of the words that came up in this discussion that we were having. He said, well, that's dishonorable. And you remember when I first came on the round table, that letter that I wrote, a word that was used that triggered me was honorable, or that my actions were not honorable. And that was a big thing for me then.
Yeah.
And when he said that, it had zero effect on me. It was not I didn't laugh, but to me, it was just, it was like him calling me a bad ballerina.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was cool. I got to see my progress in that moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you worked on that limiting belief and the fear at the base of it and realized how irrational that was.
Right.
That you're not here to be honorable or fit into anyone else's perception of what's good or
bad. We don't have to be good. We already are good. We just are.
Yeah. And if you're really being authentic, you can't be bad. Because you're based in love, right?
There's
nothing you can do that's bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how it is. Yeah.
You may be bring up fears for the other person,
right,
because you're being authentic and you're being who you are, and you're not shifting who you are so that they can feel better, which doesn't help them, by the way.
No.
If you change who you are for them to feel better,
yeah. It doesn't help them and it doesn't help you.
No.
Or it doesn't help me anyway.
I've noticed that since I've been okay with being more authentic, that Lily's complaining about me a lot less than before, you know. And it just seems like a natural thing. Like she, you know, it's in myself, I'm like, I will not, you know, I am good as I am. And if someone complains about me, well, that's their issue, not my issue. And so now it's not coming up as much anymore. Maybe I'm being better.
I think the more you accept yourself, the more other people accept you.
Yeah.
Is what I found.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
After a conversation that I had with Kyla that brought up this interesting thing is that I have this ability to be very authentic and charming, and everything flows when I can do that. And other times when I'm not authentic, I'm like needy and whiny, you know? And the other night when I was at the concert, I was completely authentic, and I was just like surrounded by people who were happy and having fun with me. And, you know, and then other times when I'm not being authentic, like I want things to go a certain way. It was the difference for me. I have, we call Astrid, Nassau Astrid, when she wasn't caught up to speed with us yet, and St. John's Astrid, when she was totally caught up to speed with us. Like, the first couple of days, she had the seasickness, which was, you know, and this boat was like a hotel. I couldn't even tell it was moving. But then after a couple of days, when she warmed up to the group and got her energy back and her vibration strong again, then she was just this totally different person. And I was the same way. You know, St. John's, when we decided to just go with the flow and do what we wanted to do, I feel like I was very authentic in that time and had a great time. But on St. Martin, where I wanted things to go a certain way, nothing went the way I wanted to go. And I was sort of bitchy on that trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that now.
I could see the difference.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Try not to be so bitchy.
Awareness is half the battle, man.
Awareness is half the battle. Right. That's for sure.
That's right.
Yep.
I'm wearing my shirt from the St. Thomas Day.
St. John.
Oh, yeah.
From that little bar.
That was cool.
That was so fun.
And that was the girls' bar that Kate walked up to the stand and she said, "That's my friend's bar." And we just found it like nothing. Like, I don't know how we found it. We just walked a few blocks and there it was.
The food was so good and everybody there was so
good. The atmosphere was great.
Totally.
It was fun.
The place was packed. There was one table perfect for us.
Beach. good.
You know, this trip in September or into September, we're going to have so many expectations. We just need to go
again.
No expectations.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to go with the flow, you know? We'll just have to totally step one. Show up, and then what's going to happen? We don't know, right? Don't expect anything, But and it's interesting when you have these pre-planned ideas that you stop allowing what's the best possible thing to happen.
Attached to the outcome, like Josh.
You're attached to the outcome, exactly right. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. The land cruise, though, at Club Med. How do people get information about that? What's the best way? The Facebook page?
No, because I don't know the Facebook page. Yeah. Can you see it? Is it on there? Like I was
the flyer.
You have to scroll forever.
Okay.
So we'll put something on. By the time everyone hears this, go to the website. It'll be on there. So theteachingsofjoshua.com.
Yes.
Perfect.
And there might be an events, or it might be on the homepage. It'll probably be on the homepage. And we'll just have the whole thing there. But it's the end of September, the last weekend. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 4 days. It's $5.99 a person. It's totally everything inclusive.
That's
so
awesome. Even drinks.
Drinks, tips.
I know.
Water
tips.
Sports.
About
you can't pay for anything, I don't think. You can pay for anything. They have. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you have any questions, you can send an email to teachingsofjoshua@gmail.com.
Joshua Teachings at gmail.com.
Oh, joshuateachings@gmail.com. Yeah. And then we can connect you with Deborah Jo. She's the one that's putting
organizing
it together.
So.
And she's fucking awesome.
There's, I think
she's
we have
Julie from the Love Boat.
Yeah. I think we're going to get at least 30 people there. And people are coming from all over the world.
Well, Do you think our group from the first group, like Mimi and all her group, will come again?
Well, yeah, they're close by. They're only an hour away.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
so then if
now.
They come and we get another 20 people, we could have like 50 people. No problem.
Not that we're attached to any sort of alcohol.
No, it doesn't matter. Whoever comes first.
If you guys show up and ask it, I'm happy.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be 3 or 4 days of Joshua live, but also Julie Ryan's coming too. So she's a medical intuitive. She's worked with Lily and with Deborah Jo, and she can tell you about your past lives and about, like, she's going to read me and tell me Joshua is made up. She sees seven figures like she does with Esther Hicks, sees seven people who are Abraham, and so for me, there's seven people who are Joshua. I don't know. We think it's 7 million or whatever.
She can see that, and she can do that, but Joshua doesn't. I don't.
It's just
the different
perception
people and what they're interested in.
Yeah,
Joshua comes through Gary, and that's not Gary's thing. Gary likes practical changes, like approach to life kind of stuff. I don't know. I think that's like people that like Kimberly has been connecting or like bringing forth information about aliens. You know, that's something that she's interested in, like something that she connects to, and that's why that it's just because Joshua talks about how the entities that make up Joshua are interested in teaching, like they are teachers, you know, that's what their passion and interest is. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. And so there's probably other entities that are interested in other things that come up in other
channels. The first time ever, Astrid asked a question, and this is, I don't know if you guys have heard this yet, but said, what was talking about being telepathic and what planet she was on before. And so Josh was playing with her and said that she was on the planet of Astridium. And in that planet, she was a telepath. And they were being serious about this telepathic part. And as a telepath, as being telepathic, means that you don't talk. You just know what people are thinking, right? And I believe that, obviously, when we're non-physical, we're telepathic. To do that, you have to be an authentic being of love. And you have to expose yourself to the world. You can't have any secrets. You have to be a being of love and accept everyone else, whether they are loving or not, right? So it's not a idea of I'm going to read your mind. It's you can read my mind. You're reading my mind. I am letting it all out there. And that's the only way you can be telepathic. Right. It's not about getting the communication from someone else. It's about communicating. And for Astrid, you know, you can see that, you know, Joshua said in the past that her superpower is is visibility, not invisibility, it's visibility. And by exposing yourself and by getting out there and being out there as much as possible and, you know, being as authentic, and this all played into that. And you can see that she chose this trajectory to imagine, this is the last question, was like, imagine being telepathic and then now coming to Earth where you were highly sensitive, as she is, and highly aware, and you are a high vibration, and you can manifest stuff like crazy, but that one area of communication is the most difficult part for you. Especially being, she also has experience living in America, going to school in America, and knows how Americans are compared to Norwegians, who are way more private.
Reserved.
In her view, more judgmental, and you know, you care what other people think of you a lot more. There. I mean, we do so much here too, but I think it's easier for us to be more open because that's our culture. But
yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. But that's the first time any talk of any other planet other than Earth, because they're always saying you're focused here now, focus on this. This is what you're focused on. Don't worry about any of that other stuff. That other stuff doesn't matter. It can only give you fear anyway. Focus on this stuff. So pretty interesting. All right, everyone. That was a wonderful show. Thank you very much. This show has been brought to you by The Painted Ox. It's the world's greatest furniture store in West Palm Beach, Florida. You should probably fly in to see the store because it's cool. If you want to check it out, it's thepaintedox.com. So you can see the
furniture. It's cute. It's so cute.
I want to see it. I've looked at it online, but I want to see it.
Well, when you come here, you'll see it in September.
Yeah.
And
right there in the shop. Like, you get to see them as they're painting it.
Yeah,
stuff.
They do all the work in the shop.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Yeah.
And brought to you by Wendy Pierce, the realtor of love. And Mark Shahada, the coach, the personal trainer of coaching, of personal coaching of love, life coach of love. And by Gary Temple Bodley, the poker player of love. I don't know if you can support a poker player, really. Anyway, I'm going to go crush some poker today. And you guys crush whatever you're doing. And have a great week. And we'll see you on Monday for Joshua Live.
Woo!
Bye-bye. Wow.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.